It seems like everybody's talking about the new Superman movie. Some Christians say it's an allegory about Jesus. There are gay activists who say, no, it's a gay allegory. But should we even care about the latest Hollywood movie?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, you heard the introduction. This is Dr. Michael Brown. This is Michael Brown, not Michael Medved. Michael Medved, a wonderful radio host for many, many years, a religious Jew, and a well-known movie critic, well-known film critic. I'm not Michael Medved. This is not my review of the Superman movie. You'll have to go to Michael Medved for his take on it. But we're going to talk about it today here on The Line of Fire on this Wednesday, where we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, I have not seen the movie. I don't know that I ever will see the movie. So I am going to be giving you input from a different angle and interacting with what some are saying about the movie and different people writing about the movie and the phenomenon of the movie, that it has now set the record for the biggest all-time June movie opening. It beat Toy Story 3, which opened up with $110 million in radio income in 2000. Radio income. Let's do this again. This is the biggest ever June opening, beating Toy Story 3's $110 million opening in 2010. It opened with $125 million in movie revenue here in the States. And some are saying, you've got to see this. You've got to go see this. It's powerful. It's an allegory of Jesus. And others are saying, yeah, it's even got interesting Jewish background to it and Israeli input on it. Others say, yeah, there's a whole history of Superman that's kind of savior-like and points to Jesus in many ways, but this is overt and its parallels. And then I read in a gay activist website, no, this is a gay allegory for our times. And so I want to ask you, if you saw the movie, no condemnation if you saw it. I'm like, why are you going to the movie? I'm asking if you saw the movie, what your take was. If you saw the movie, do you think there's something powerful about it for Christians to see? I mean, it's being promoted to churches. It's being promoted to churches. Is there some powerful message? Or are we wasting our time even bothering with what Hollywood has to say? I'm going to give you my take in a moment, but there's a whole history to this. Clip number one.
Some have seen Superman as a mythic symbol of hope, strength, and moral certainty, while others would simply call him a pop culture phenomenon. Throughout his history, he's found himself in touch with the times and occasionally out of fashion. But Superman continues to endure as generation after generation have come to know him. And with each new generation, Superman continues to challenge our collective notion of what it means to be a hero.
There's always a time for heroes. It's the spirit of Superman, and it's someone that people can aspire to be.
Here was a hero who represented all people, not white, black, not women, not men, everybody.
We come back. We're going to go to the phones with the author of The Gospel of Superman. Stay right there, Steve. I want to talk to you. In fact, I'm going to hear from you before I weigh in with my larger opinion, my general opinion about this. No, maybe I'll give my opinion first, then we'll hear from Steve. I want to hear from you. If you saw the movie, if you have some input, if you have a reaction, a response, 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast. We're talking about the Superman movie. It is a smash hit. And many are saying, look, overtly, clearly, it has gospel parallels, and it is powerful. And I've even had folks post on my Facebook pages and elsewhere, it's all about Jesus. Go see it. Others have very different takes on it. If you've seen the movie, give me your take on it. Is there something spiritual about it? Is there something that truly points to the Lord? Can we use it for gospel purposes? We're going to hear from someone who's written a whole book about this in one moment. The number to call, 866-348-7884. Let me just give you my thoughts for a minute, not having seen the movie, but my general thoughts on this question of could there be gospel parallels or is the movie about Jesus? Honestly, candidly, now I want to hear from you. I want to get your input. I just want to share my take. I could really care less about a Hollywood movie about Superman in terms of Jesus. It is not going to make me love the Lord anymore. It's not going to make me draw closer to him. It's not going to make me believe that he's all-powerful and can do anything. And in fact, Superman is quite wimpy and quite nothing compared to the Lord that I serve and love. I grew up watching Superman as a kid. When I got saved, I never made a connection, nor did I ever go back and say, wow, I can relate to God more. I can believe God for more things because Superman flies through the air and you don't even know where he's coming from. And he comes to the rescue at the last moment. And now that we've got all these other parallels and look, he comes on the scene at 33 and there's persecution his parents are running from and the whole bit and the things about his birth and on. And I mean, all this is being talked about with the new Superman movie. You think that's not going to help me share the gospel with someone? You think when I'm witnessing to someone that when I share with them about the parallels, they're going to fall on their knees and repent and say, oh God, I'm convicted of my sins. I need to be saved. And is there truly a recognition of sin and holiness and the cross and resurrection and these spiritual realities? Is a Superman movie going to help us preach the gospel or draw closer to Jesus? It's one thing to see it if it's a non-offensive movie, to see it, to be entertained by it. It's another thing to make something spiritual about it. That's my two cents, but I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. And with that introduction, Steve from Nashville, this is an unplanned call, but I'm thrilled that you tuned into the broadcast. Tell us about yourself and your book, please.
Hey, Dr. Brown. It's Steve Skelton. You and I are now caught up in the social networking world. I had a friend of mine just shoot me a message on Facebook and say you're about to talk about the topic of Superman as a Christ figure. And, well, since I've written a book on it, I thought I might...
Yes, please. Your book I'm looking at right now online, The Gospel According to the World's Greatest Superhero. Now, it's a great time to have written this book. You wrote it already in 2006. I'm sure you've been all over this new movie. So first tell me, Steve, why you wrote this book back in 2006. And then you heard my take, not having seen the movie, but just my take on the larger Hollywood's going to preach the gospel kind of issue. First tell me about your 2006 book. And then catch us up to today and give me your response to what I had to say.
I will. The book that we originally came out with in 2006 has been revised.
Great.
The previous title that it was under with The Gospel According to the World's Greatest Superhero is now just shortened to The Gospel of Superman.
Got it.
But at any rate, it's out there just recently now. And the thing that I do in the book is I just recount how many of the people behind the scenes of the movies, the TV shows, the comic books have gone on the record and said that, yes, they modeled the Superman story after the gospel story. None of these guys were saying that we're evangelical Christians and we're trying to promote Christianity. However, what they've all indicated is they were looking to tell the best Superman story they could, and so they based it on the greatest story ever told.
And that's very interesting. The most recent movie, were the parallels even more overt in the minds of the producers or the screenwriters?
Yes, they've gone on the record, too. They did, just within the last 5 days, as the calls for them to kind of confirm what they were seeing in the movie. Zack Snyder, the director of Man of Steel, and David Goyer, the screenwriter of Man of Steel, went on the record and said that yes, they were modeling it after the gospel story, as if this stuff would have passed us by. I mean, for goodness sake, Dr. Brown, there's a scene in the movie where Clark Kent goes to a priest to seek his advice on how he should save the world. And as he's sitting there in the church, there's a prolonged shot of Clark's face, and in the background, there's a stained glass window that is an image of Jesus on the stained glass window, and they hold that shot for a prolonged period of time, almost as if to say, you know whose story this really is.
All right, so when they're doing that, and I'm going to share some more of the parallels in the 33 years old and questions about the birth and various things like that and imagery and even some of the Israelis involved with it and some of the Hebrew names and so on. But just a question for you then. And obviously folks need to get your book, Stephen Skelton, S-K-E-L-T-O-N, and the new revised one is simply The Gospel of Superman, correct?
That's true.
Okay, so let's turn this around the other way and say, shouldn't Christians rather be offended by this? Shouldn't Christians see this as demeaning to Jesus? Shouldn't Christians see this as a popularizing of something sacred that takes away the whole issue of sin and the meaning of the cross, rather than looking at it as a potential bridge by which they can share the gospel to others?
I think it might be useful to look at it in the light of other stories out there in the culture. I'll take a huge one from years ago, but something like the Da Vinci Code comes out, and that very clearly has a message to it that's being presented as fact.
Yeah,
that's contrary to Christianity. If you take something like Superman, which is being presented as fiction, and yet at the same time it's a positive portrayal. It's saying that this is not Christ, but rather a Christ figure. I think that has kind of a 1-2 punch for it. I think that for established Christians, it can for us help us to kind of envision Jesus in a different light, which is to say, I think in our Sunday schools we do an awful lot of talking about Jesus one way and not necessarily another. We talk about Jesus as the suffering lamb. He is weak. He's being beaten. He's suffering the passion. He's weak. He dies on the cross, and oh, that's a suffering lamb. And yet, wasn't Jesus also the universal hero? Wasn't he the guy that saved everyone who ever lived who came to him? There's something of an ultimate heroic nature in that image there, and I think that Superman does help establish Christians to envision that. The other thing I think it does is on the other side of the fence with non-believers, I think that it creates a foot in the door. I think it creates an icebreaker for Christians to go to them and to start a conversation with people who might ordinarily say, I don't want to talk about Jesus. And yet you say to them, hey, have you seen the new Man of Steel movie? And they say, yeah, sure. And you say, well, did you know that the guys behind that movie said they modeled the story after Jesus? And that's not my opinion. I'm just talking about what the guys behind, you know, those people we put up on the pedestal, the director of Man of Steel, the writer of Man of Steel. Here's what those guys said. They said that they modeled it after Jesus. Wonder why they did that. Right there. There's a foot in the door to have a conversation that starts with Superman, sure, but ends with the Superman, Jesus Christ.
All right, so what about that? Now, we know, say, with the X-Men, that some of the comic book creators of that and the screenwriters, some of the producers, some of the actors, overtly were getting out a message about homosexuality. I've written about that just in article form, but they're quite open and overt about that and the mutant and having to change and so on and so forth. But let's just say that these, quote, parallels about Jesus are accurate and overt in terms of what these folks were intending. That's quite clear that they've said that. But doesn't this fall into the trap of a gospel that presents a superhero that does not deal with the issue of human sin and human lostness and the fact we're under God's judgment? We've got 45 seconds, so I'll let you get in the last word in response to my question.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Let me jump over to X-Men real quick and tell you that Stan Lee, the creator of the X-Men, said that there was a Jesus Christ feeling within the X-Men because they were saviors of the world and yet persecuted. That may be a word to consider on X-Men. let's jump over to Super.
Oh yeah, but I'm just saying, as it's gone on for many, many years since then, and the movies in particular. But okay, just real quick, 30 seconds. Yeah. The Sin issue.
I'll tie in X-Men with Superman. The director of X-Men 1 and 2 was a gay director. His name was Bryan Singer. Bryan Singer was also the director of Superman Returns, the last time that Superman was at the big screen. When Bryan Singer was interviewed on Larry King, Larry King said, "Bryan, you're a gay director. Is Superman gay?" Even the gay director of a Superman movie said, "No, Superman is not gay. The character has never been gay, and I didn't try to instill that in the character."
Got it. All right, hey, Steve, I'm thrilled that you called. I really appreciate it. I appreciate what you're seeking to do, especially with the foot in the door issue. We'll continue to discuss whether it works or not. So that was Stephen Skelton, his book, The Gospel of Superman. Thanks for calling in. God bless you, man.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about Superman today. I'm not giving a movie review because I haven't seen it. I'm talking about the larger issues associated with the new movie and with Superman in history as a savior figure, a Jesus figure of sorts. 866-348-7884. If you saw the movie, I'd like to hear from you, and I'll give you my take again. I appreciate the call we just got from Stephen Skelton, who wrote a book originally called The Gospel According to the World's Greatest Superhero, now called The Gospel According to Superman. And he feels it can inspire Christians to see Jesus as a great savior and hero, and that the parallels are quite overt and even intentional as far as the imagery of Jesus, and there are quite a few Jewish background parallels by intent. His Kryptonian name means voice of God in a form. It'd be Kol El, exactly. It's called Kal El. Events in his childhood are similar to those experienced by Moses. The writer and artist who created Superman were Jewish. He feels like a stranger in a foreign land. The suffix in his name, man, is also found in many Jewish names. So there are Jews who say, look, there are parallels with Moses and the birth of Moses and the parents being persecuted and so on. And then Jesus has to hide his identity so the people don't really know who he is. There's the Clark Kent figure, and then he reveals himself as who he really is and all these things. And I don't doubt the power of a movie. I don't doubt the power of Hollywood. I don't doubt the power of the media. But I'm just being frank with you. I'm not one of those that's going to get up and preach a message based on a movie. Now, if you saw this movie, now let me talk to you based on this movie. Hey, man, it's trending. Everybody's talking about it. Yeah, well, porn is trending. Shall I get up on it? You say, what kind of a gross comparisons. I'm making a point. Just because something's trending, does that now become the subject matter of our messages? Just because something's trending, does that mean that we are now supposed to weave this into our sermons because everybody's talking about it and everybody's watching it and everybody's spending their money on these things and the kids are watching it? Well, how about just preaching Jesus? How about just opening the Bible and preaching the cross and preaching Jesus rather than trying to compare him to some Hollywood superhero or use a Hollywood superhero to exalt or paint pictures of the Son of God? How about preaching the gospel and the power of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin? Because you don't need a Savior unless you're lost. And you don't recognize you're lost unless you recognize you're in sin. Jesus doesn't come to save us from our troubles. Save us from our difficulties. He comes to save us from our sin. 866-348-7884. Feel free to differ with me. I'm giving you my opinion. Feel free to differ with me. My own take is the less in tune we are with Hollywood and the media and the more in tune we are with the Lord, the less TV and movies and stuff we take in, and the more time we spend alone with God and His Word, becoming like Jesus, the more impact we will have for Him. And even if we didn't even know how to spell the word movie and had never seen a video in our lives, if we're preaching Jesus and an intimacy with God and full of the Word, lives will be radically changed 100 times more than if we're giving analogies from the movies. My personal opinion. All right, but I want to hear from you, especially if you saw the movie. You might say, yeah, there are a lot of parallels. I'm not making a gospel message out of it, but yeah, or it got me thinking. Or it's opened the door for me to share the gospel with my neighbors. I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Boston. Anthony in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Anthony.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I did see the movie. I actually saw it last night. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the writers were brilliant, the way they made the story more believable. Not like a guy can hide up behind a pair of glasses. I saw all the parallels as far as tying into Scripture. And let's face it, it's been plagiarism across the board with all stories, as well as Hollywood, people trying to steal stories right out of the Bible, something with truth that they had to have for any story to have any kind of substance.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as saying this is the ultimate tool, no. Any Christian that has Scripture behind him will find an opportunity to introduce parallels, to introduce, as far as I think it does a little bit of good, because Hollywood is so chicken today, and most of the directors are fearful of tying anything in. You got a guy from another planet supposed to be more evolved than we are, whatnot. He cancels out the evolution because he was raised with good Christian morals. Okay? That's the thing. What makes him different than the people of his world that are warmongers that just want to take over a planet?
Mm.
You know, it's the morality he learned from the Christians of this planet. That's an excellent entrance.
All right, so there are moral, lessons, right? There are moral lessons. Then there are things.
No. The moral lessons is, you know, he was persecuted. Here's an example. You use that other comic guy, Spider-Man. When he was first got his powers, first thing he wanted to do, he was looking for glory and money, and until something bad happened to him and his family got hurt, he didn't want to be a hero. This
right.
guy sits there, gets persecuted. They did a great job. The writers were brilliant. They showed him being humble when he had all this power, like Jesus did. All these morals come from a Christian background, something most people don't do today. Hollywood doesn't embrace it. Look how long, what's his name there? Mel Gibson had to wait to try to get his show on the road because nobody was touching the Jesus thing. I think it's a great thing that they did that. I think it's a great thing that they added words. Different Jewish.
Yeah, and listen, yeah, Anthony, I got to jump in because we have a break, but you have done a great job of communicating clearly, and it helps set the stage for a lot more that we want to talk about. So, Anthony, thank you for the call and for the intelligent input and feedback on it. We're getting a lot of different points of view. We want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, just a reminder, all of our friends listening right now on WAVA FM in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, just switch over to AM, and you can continue listening right through the rest of this hour. I've got a ton of audio clips I want to play for you, a bunch of fascinating articles on my desk I want to talk to you about. Phone lines are jammed, so I want to hear from you as well. Did you hear the show on Monday? I had an amazing guest, Professor Rosaria Butterfield, tenured English professor at the University of Syracuse, lesbian feminist activist, got wonderfully, gloriously saved, and wrote a book that's become a bestseller, considered one of the top 10 Christian books of the year, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. We have a copy of that book for you, along with the CD of the interview with Dr. Butterfield for your gift of $18 to the ministry, or more if you can help. Give us a call right now at 1-800-278-9978. The interview alone is worth getting, but the book is an amazing read. 1-800-278-9978 to get the book and the CD. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back with your calls. A CNN article, Superman flying to a church near you. Christianity Today article, Superman is no Jesus. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH, talking about the Superman movie, the biggest June opening in Hollywood history. It beat Toy Story 3. According to Eric Marapoti on the CNN Belief blog, as the new Superman movie takes flight this weekend, he wrote this June 14th, filmmakers are hoping the Man of Steel lands not only in theaters but also in pulpits. Warner Brothers Studios is aggressively marketing Man of Steel to Christian pastors, inviting them to early screenings, creating Father's Day discussion guides, and producing special film trailers that focus on the faith-friendly angles of the movie. And an article on ChristianityToday.com, Superman isn't Jesus. Despite what you may have heard, the Man of Steel is no son of man. What's your take? 866-348-7884. My take is we are so obsessed with Hollywood and media that if we would just turn away from most of these things and get alone with the Lord and get full of his word and his spirit and just preach Jesus and couldn't even give a cultural parallel if we tried, we'd do a whole lot more good. That's my take. 866-348-7884. Look, there's a history of discussion about Superman. This is from a psychiatrist. Number two, Joey.
One outspoken psychiatrist, Dr. Frederick Wortham, considered Superman un-American. In his 1954 book, Seduction of the Innocent, Wortham waged an incendiary war on comic books and called the Man of Steel a fascist. Wortham was a star witness at the Senate investigation into popular media and its alleged responsibility for juvenile delinquency, which was on the rise across America. The TV series, like most of the Superman franchise, fell under the watchful eye of DC Comics editorial director Whitney Ellsworth. Ellsworth crafted a code of conduct for all of DC's heroes, including a ban against killing and excessive violence. It was a move designed to protect DC from further attacks by critics.
Interesting. Interesting, some of the history here. Check this out as well. Superman in the 70s against the backdrop of social unrest. Number three.
As the Vietnam War escalated and political scandals and presidential resignations brought a nation to its knees.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Broadway musicals like Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell reflected a rekindled interest in spirituality. Superman was now seen in pop culture and in the comics, not just as a superhero, but as a secular messiah.
Oh, as a secular messiah. Now look, I got saved in 71. I was part of that tumultuous era, the counterculture revolution of the 60s and the Jesus revolution in the 70s, and knew about Superman, all this. I never made the jump, the parallels in my mind. Do you find, if you see a movie like this, that there are moral lessons? And hey, forget the gospel parallels, moral lessons, moral truths you can convey to your kids. Do you find that that's just leaning on the arm of the flesh? Do you think, hey, this is a door opener? This is a way to talk to people about Jesus? And yeah, see the Hebrew names here? And see this, and that is birth, like Moses, and the persecution when Jesus was born, and hey, he's the Savior. We all need a Savior. You think it's helpful? Or do you think that's just another sign of the bankruptcy of the church leaning on the arm of flesh? We come back. I am going straight to the phones, literally straight to the phones at 866-348-7884. By the way, since we're talking about Jesus more than anyone, did you read my article? Is the name Jesus really related to the name Zeus? Which it's not, it's not, it's not. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the latest article to read it. We'll be right back.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
Superman.
You want it soon?
All right. As I said at the beginning of the hour, I'm not Michael Medved. I am not a film critic. I have not seen the movie Superman, but a ton of people are talking about it. It's being marketed to churches. Many are saying there are so many overt parallels. It's a good way for us to preach the gospel. Others are saying, what are you talking about? That's demeaning to Jesus. I want to hear from you, 866-348-7884, especially if you saw the movie, but even if you didn't, if you want to weigh in, by all means, please do. Steven in New York City, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I didn't see the movie.
Yeah, Steven, I can barely hear you. Can you speak right into the mic there? Into the phone, rather? A little bit better.
Okay. I'll try to be quick about it. I just see that Superman obviously related to Nietzsche. And Nietzsche, of course, was the Antichrist, the replacement of God, God replacement figures, including in the media all over the place. So I agree with you. It's sort of a lowest common denominator replacement for God.
Yeah, Stephen, I've just got to jump in. I don't know what happened to the phone connection from once we got you on the phone. I can barely hear you. But for those who couldn't hear Stephen, he said this reminds him more of Nietzsche, more of an Antichrist figure, and all that we're doing is trying to find the lowest common denominator. Is that what we're doing? Trying to find the lowest common denominator to say, start there, and now look at Jesus, and that's him. All right, thank you for the call. I'd love to hear more from you, but we could barely hear you, and it wouldn't be helpful to have you give articulate thoughts that no one can hear. 866-348-7884. Let's go to... we lost Nick. Nick, I wanted to talk to you, but I know people can't hold forever. Nick in Manassas, Virginia, wanted to ask me the question, do I have a problem with the Chronicles of Narnia? Ah, that's a fair question. Can you make the comparison between the Superman movie and the Chronicles of Narnia? Can you say, hey, Chronicles of Narnia, look at how God has used them to bring so many people to the faith and to edify children in the faith and to help them to grow in the Lord. Is this a parallel like Chronicles of Narnia? Before I give you my take, because I did see Narnia. I saw the first one with Nancy and then maybe the second or the third one with the grandkids. So, I can at least give some input there. But what do you think? Is that fair to say, hey, you got overt parallels, a message, an allegory, in a children's book with talking animals and so on, in Narnia, and fantasy, and witch, and all this, and God used that? The one of the most influential Christian authors of the 20th century, C.S. Lewis, wrote these, and look at how God used them. And then flip that over and say, okay, isn't God using the Superman movie or the Superman story, or is that not even a working parallel? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jonathan. We've lost Jonathan. Boy, our phone lines are jammed, but it doesn't seem like people are able to super hold today as we talk about the Superman movie and the gospel. Robert, whoa, check this out. This is amazing. Could it be that it must be the enemies of Superman. Is it aliens who are his enemies? I don't know who his enemies are. The enemies of organized crime that are trying to take out these callers. This is remarkable. If it happens two more times, guys, start praying there in the studio. Calvin in Ashburn, Virginia. Are you there, Calvin?
I'm here.
All right, you are here. They didn't take you out. I'm glad to see that. Yeah, what's your take, please?
Well, Michael, first I want to say thanks for taking my call. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. My take, I'm 30 years old, I've been to seminary, I grew up, with the Matrix and seeing different books like The Gospel According to the Matrix and things like that. I think it's dangerous when you're trying to preach Christ through Hollywood. I just graduated from a liberal seminary, and what I've noticed is, and I'm sure you know this too, what the liberals did was they came in and they were like, okay, we'll adopt evolution, and now, you know, we'll adopt to the homosexual agenda and to the culture. With the evangelicals, what we have done is we'll say, okay, we fight evolution, we fight this, but what can we kind of draw Christ out of or say Christ is in it? So, you know, the Matrix becomes big. So, okay, so, you know, we find Jesus in Neo, or Iron Man comes out. I heard there are, you know, Iron Man Bible studies and things of that nature. But it's like what you're saying. Ultimately, we're trusting in the world's culture instead of just trusting in the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, Calvin, that's where I'm at with it. And thank you for the kind words as well. But, yeah, I don't understand how it helps. I could understand that if there are moral lessons for family in a family movie like Chariots of Fire, our oldest granddaughter's 12. I want to sit down and watch that with her one time. The moral lessons and the overt Christian lessons in Chariots of Fire are very, very powerful. So there may be a moral application, or there may be a movie. There's probably one out in Hollywood somewhere where there's a family ethic, or you see the price of sin, and then there's a positive family outcome. And okay, so there are those kind of lessons. And perhaps there can be that open door where someone saw the movie, and it's an icebreaker to talk about Jesus, but then that's it. Show me atonement in the movie. Show me the price and ugliness of sin and the Savior dying for our sins. Come on, don't we have a culture today that is so saturated with a superhero God mentality, a superhero God mindset, that you're just going to look to him to be the magic genie in the bottle and solve your problems, where we don't come under conviction of sin and recognize our need for a real Savior? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Grover in Hilburn, New York. By the way, Grover, where is Hilburn?
Hilburn's near Suffern, southeastern corner of New York State.
All right. I know Suffern, but I don't know Hilburn. All right. What's your take, sir?
I am 72. I've been saved 40 years, and I've seen one fad come and go. And my take on the Superman is that it has absolutely nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not even close. First of all, it's a bloodless Christ. He shed his blood for our sins, died on a cross, was resurrected. I don't see any of that pertaining to Superman. Furthermore, people could say, well, that stands for Savior, but it stands for Satan as far as I'm concerned.
Now, why do you say that?
Why? Why do I say that?
Yeah.
S on his chest? That stands for the devil as far as I'm concerned. I have to agree with Calvin, though. The culture we live in today is anti-Christian. It basically is either New Age, where all of us become little gods like Superman, or we are complete atheists on the other end. So, you know, I see a lot of apostasy in churches today, the embracing of even contemporary music. Some of the things that are being sung in the name of Christ are just garbage. And soon I'll be out of here, I hope, and we'll wait to see the Lord.
All right. But, well, Grover, I hope you can be fruitful as long as we have you here. So I appreciate the call, appreciate the input. Thank you, sir. 866-348-7884. There was an article in The Advocate, which is the pioneer gay publication, and the leading gay publication in America. And it said that the Superman movie is a gay allegory for our times. It's not the first time something like this has been said. Number six.
So Superman likes tight, form-fitting clothes. He's got a great physique. He keeps some secrets. And, of course, the identity is more than that. Is he gay? I mean, that's the question they're posing.
No, look, they're talking more about a metaphorical exercise here. There's nothing gay, really, in the movie, apparently. It's just that he's a modest person by day who then goes into his phone booth or his closet, as it were, comes out with a fabulous outfit, and he kicks butt. So, yeah, I'd say he's gay. I think there's a hunger on the part of the media and the gay community to find gay icons because there are so many closet cases.
All right. Now, in point of fact, that was not the intent of the screenwriters. And some of those involved, say, with X-Men, made it very clear that they wanted to get a gay message out through the movies, through the comic books. But the Superman writers, no, that was not their intent. But you just see how people can read something into Hollywood and you ultimately say, so what's the point of it? Now please feel free to differ with me. If you saw the movie in particular, or if you followed the whole controversy and discussion, I'd love to hear from you. We will be right back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I remember seeing the Chronicles of Narnia movie with Nancy, and we were shaken by the end of it. And the crucifixion, resurrection enactment, the way it was, and these demonic figures around the lion that was dying for the sins of the world, and it was dramatic. I remember we were shaken. We left. We said, this is not for children. Well, I mean, the gospel was preached clearly through that in many ways. Is that the case with Superman? Or are we just into, you know, hey, we go to the movies all the time, so we're trying to make something Christian about it. 866-348-7884. Mary in Bayville, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. I recently met you when you came to Long Island. I'm so happy that you did. I hope that you come again very soon. I wanted to say I have not seen the movie, and I will not be seeing the movie. I really, at this point, I can almost say I boycott Hollywood Productions because I'm very leery of them. I think most of the producers, with exceptions, some exceptions, are actually, I believe, unbelievers, atheists, whatever, and they always have some hidden agenda as such. And I would differentiate. I agree about Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia. C.S. Lewis was converted from atheism, became a very, very strong believer in the gospel and Jesus Christ. So I would definitely, I don't know how we can even compare them. The movie, I understand, was not written, the one of the Superman, I don't believe, was written by a believer, correct? Or any believers on that?
No, not written by believers, but with some overt parallels and some very intentional parallels. And Superman's kind of revealed at the age of 33 and things like that.
Yeah,
so intentional parallels. The question would be, are they building a superhero borrowing from Jesus? And now the church is going to borrow back to try to preach Jesus. I mean, those are questions to ask.
Yeah, that sounds to me what's going on in some very liberal churches. They're trying to borrow from the culture and just mix that.
Is it just the very liberal churches that are doing it? So that's the question. By the way, I was just on the phone today with Rich Anderson at Hope Radio on Long Island, working out ways we can partner together more and hopefully get back on the island soon. But Mary, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Nancy just sent me some stats. ABC poll, ABC Washington Post poll saying that 57% of Americans in favor of allowing same-sex couples to marry, 40% opposed. And people are saying, look, there's a change in attitude, a change in tolerance. A lot of the reason for it is the power of the media and the lack of moral conviction in the church. The influence that the media has. Is this just another example of it? That you've got weak parallels at best between Superman and Jesus. Now we're going to take from those weak parallels and try to preach Jesus from that. Why not just go to the source, to the Word, to the real Son of God? 866-348-7884. Judith in Lost Judas. Let's go to Linda in New York City. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, I don't think it's a parallel. I think it's a replacement. You know, here's Superman from another planet, saves the world, blah, blah, blah. This is a way that people can reconcile a God-man. You know, he's not divine. He's from another planet. And it will also, and including the X-Men, you know, at some point the demonic will be at large on this planet, visible, and, you know, this is just a way to indoctrinate people to accept.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, the demonic part, that's an interesting thought. But, okay, think of this. Does the Superman character call for universal allegiance? Does the Superman character call people to leave everything and follow him? Do we bow down to him and recognize him as Lord, or does he just appear to help us out of our troubles? So not an allegory, a replacement. Linda, thank you for the observations. I appreciate it. Friends, I want to get all viewpoints here. And we heard from author Stephen Skelton at the beginning of the show. He's actually written on the Gospel of Superman. Let's go to Greg in Miami. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
What I want to know is why the utilitarian view of the arts in general amongst evangelicals? I mean, is there no value in art except if it's overtly preaching or if there's direct allegory? You made reference earlier to the Chronicles of Narnia, which C.S. Lewis, I mean, is very, very straight allegory that maybe an 8 or a 9-year-old could understand, and that's who he wrote it for.
Right.
But is there no value in art that is not overtly preaching? And it's alarming to hear evangelicals speak this way, because it's almost like they need permission to like something, or they need permission to enjoy art.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Greg, I got to jump in because time is short. You raise a super important point. So I'm jumping in because it's so important, if you can allow me to do that.
Sure.
Number one, we need to be able to appreciate beauty and art and music and all of these wonderful things in and of themselves without. Of course I do. Oh, yeah, 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 of course. Of course I do. However,
do you enjoy classic literature?
Some. Yeah, yeah. And classic poetry, some stuff, and different forms of music. I'm a musician. Absolutely. Beauty.
Most of the classics were not written by overtly. They weren't written by evangelicals.
Oh, no, I understand. That's my whole point, though. In other words, I can appreciate beauty for beauty. I also appreciate the cesspool of what comes out of Hollywood, the immorality of what comes out of it, the wanton violence that comes out of it, and on and on and on. Hang on. I got a break coming up. If you can stay on the line, stay there. And I want to continue this conversation in the next hour, right? Let's do that. Let me just say, I recognize the incredibly deleterious, negative, destructive effect of most media in our culture today. That's why I stay away from most of it. Can I enjoy the beauty of art? Can I enjoy the beauty of music? Can I enjoy just a powerful movie for itself? Of course, absolutely. But I'm not going to have to find a gospel parallel to justify something. All right, you know what? I'm not going to get to this quote now. I'll try to get to it early the next hour. But it was from my guest on Monday, Rosaria Butterfield, who even talked about living as a lesbian activist, how sexual identity and queerness, in a word, that these things were almost made into a salvific element, that your salvation and identity was so caught up in these. Get her book, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. It's an amazing read, and it'll thrill your soul. The book and the interview from Monday for your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I don't need a Superman movie or a Hollywood to find a parallel about Jesus to help me point people to Jesus. I'll just point them to Jesus. Change the world. It seems like everybody's talking about the new Superman movie. Some Christians say it's an allegory about Jesus. There are gay activists who say, no, it's a gay allegory. But should we even care about the latest Hollywood movie?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, there is so much talk about the new Superman movie, blockbuster movie. Just came out this past weekend, set a record for June releases, beat Toy Story 3 in terms of the most lucrative June release. But the reason I'm talking about it today on The Line of Fire, and our phone lines were lit up for the last hour, the reason I'm talking about it is because many are saying it is a powerful tool for preaching the gospel. Or it is even powerful for Christians to watch, and as they watch, they are edified and their faith is built, and they get a greater recognition of who Jesus is and this great Savior that we need. What do you think? Do you think that we're just looking to Hollywood to help us preach the gospel? In fact, this was marketed to churches. And in fact, the screenwriters were very overt in their parallels, and even the original comic book writers were overt in some of their parallels to look at the Savior of the world, and then to try to paint Superman in certain common ways. Was that blasphemous, or was that a good thing to do? What was the intent? 866-34-TRUTH. If you saw the movie, I'd love to hear from you. All right. My view is we've got no business looking to Hollywood to help us preach the gospel. When something overt comes out, or Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis comes out, and there's a clear gospel message, or Christian production crew puts out a message with a clear moral lesson about the gospel and so on, and they've got that goal, and we say, hey, let's partner together to help get the gospel out. And whether you like the Passion of the Christ or not, churches work together, and they said, hey, it's powerful, and people are getting saved through it. I heard reports that because Mel Gibson was reported to be an anti-Semite, then people wanted to see it in the Muslim world, and theaters were packed out in the Muslim world, but Muslims don't believe that Jesus was crucified. So that was a way for the gospel to be preached, and there were websites with all the people getting saved through it. Whether you like the movie or not, that's a different aspect as well. We're talking about something which is clearly about a superhero and saying, hey, look at the parallels. This is how we can preach Jesus. I don't know why we're bothering doing that. I don't see how it helps or enhances the message or how it's going to get someone on their knees turning to God, repenting of their sin. Yeah, man, I recognize I need a hero. Jesus is that hero. Is that the way it works? Is that how people get saved? Or am I being too narrow-minded and fundamentalist about this? 866-34-TRUTH, clip number 12. Do we have?
What did you say? Here we go. You will give the people of Earth an ideal to strive towards. They will stumble. They will fall. But you will help them. You will guide them. You will give them hope.
Hey, that's the trailer. Parent talking to the son, or the message to the son who becomes Superman. And maybe you could play off that. You could say, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, it's powerful and hope, and it's only Jesus who does that, and we should play off that and use it, and our own faith will be inspired. Or is that just being soulish, carnal, worldly, in the natural? We come back. I want to continue a discussion I was having with Greg from Miami. Can we just appreciate art for art's sake, literature for literature's sake? Even if it's from the world, does it have to have a Christian message, or is that the point I'm making? We'll get back to your calls when we come back, and I've got a bunch of interesting audio clips, articles I want to share with you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world, moral, cultural issues. And I thought, you know, with all the talk about Superman, article on CNN Belief blog, Superman flying to a church near you, article on Christianity Today saying Jesus isn't Superman, article on the gay website, The Advocate, saying that Superman is a gay allegory for our times. I thought it's worth talking about today on the air. In the last hour, I began to get into a conversation with Greg from Miami, and I thought it was important enough that I asked him to stay over to continue the conversation. So, Greg, thanks for holding through the hour. In a nutshell, you are questioning me or the church in general. Can we not just enjoy art for art's sake, music for music's sake, great literature for its own sake? Must it have some type of Christian message? So I didn't have a chance to let you speak.
I think the answer is clear. If you listen to your callers, most of the callers, and you listen, I listened to you today while I was on hold, and they're really, for many evangelicals, and I'm hesitant to say most evangelicals, they need some reason to justify enjoying themselves, for instance, at the movies, or to enjoy listening to music, or enjoy a good book. And the reasons that evangelicals need is they need it to be propaganda. They need it to preach the gospel. They need it to, you know, fit into certain limited stricture that, that the evangelical church will accept and allow them to enjoy.
So, Greg, let me ask you this, Greg. From my take, your average evangelical Christian in America spends, I don't know, 5-10 times as much time watching TV, watching movies, as they spend in the
guilt,
Word and prayer. Excuse me?
With a great deal of guilt, because they know.
Yeah, but isn't the guilt because they're neglecting God and because what they're watching is trash for the most part?
Listen, on this you and I can agree. I don't think the church should be relying on the media or art. The church should not be relying on art to spread the message of the gospel. It's really not. It's not the job of art to spread the gospel. The job of art has a different function in the world in which we live. Art has a historically has a different function. What we see with evangelicals is they need it to be propaganda. In other words, they need all artistic considerations to bow down to this one fact, which is we need the gospel. We need the gospel to be presented clearly in this movie, in this music,
right.
Whatever.
Okay, I agree. I think you're making valid points there. So let me throw out a couple of reactions, and I'll give you the last word before I get to other callers, okay?
Sure.
Number one, my biggest issue is the massive pollution, the sexual pollution, the pollution of violence and other things that believers take in on a regular basis through internet, through movies, through video, TV, etc., which is a plague in the body and terribly destructive. That's number one. Number two, I agree that we can often be hung up, that we could be practicing all these sins and yet be very religious at the same time and be hung up so that we don't know how to be in this world and not of it. We don't know how to enjoy. I mean, if it's nature, that's okay, because God just created that. We can enjoy a sunset. But if we enjoy a great painting, maybe this artist wasn't really saved, or maybe he was gay, and maybe we can't enjoy the painting. Look, I could not enjoy the music of Richard Wagner because of his anti-Semitism, all right?
Okay, understandable. But
if I see some beautiful piece of artwork, or if, you know, if Michelangelo was gay or not, I still appreciate the artwork. I agree that we can be hung up there. And yes, it is this excuse that we try to find for going to the movies and enjoying a movie. So
it's like they need evangelicals need permission to enjoy themselves. And it's I think that in itself is very restrictive and repressive. But I will say this in closing. You know, the Bible itself depicts a lot of events that are offensive. And you would agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
You know, it's one of the lessons I think that evangelicals in particular need to understand in enjoying art is that sometimes art says things or it depicts things that it does not necessarily approve. And, you know, the Bible's the same way. Just because the Bible depicts, you know, a daughter raping her drunk father does not mean that it's giving tacit approval to do that.
So here's the thing with film
in particular, and I just because your show today is about the movie, but you know movies can depict things. They can depict violence. They can depict humanity at its worst. Does not necessarily mean that it's approving of those things or peddling those.
And here's where I agree and I disagree. Generally speaking, I agree. And it's funny you mentioned Lot and his daughters and so on, because I was going to use that example. It's in the Bible, and it's not painted in a positive way in any way whatsoever. It depicts what happens, and now you know that Moab and Ammon are
depicted flatly. There's no.
It's depicted
really
flatly,
no.
Except you have to remember historically that Moab and Ammon are enemies of Israel and often
correct.
Hostile to Israel. So their ancestry goes back to incest. That's what's painted. But
right.
Hollywood would not paint it like that. Hollywood would give you the
that.
Sexual
that's
details.
A broad brush
Hollywood
that's a very broad
right.
brush
Hollywood if Hollywood was going to paint this picture, Greg, the way Hollywood would do it is you'd get the whole sex scene, the thing would be R-rated. It would even create a potential thought about incest within the family. And for the most part, we have completely departed from the old Hollywood code, the Hays Code, where if you were going to show crime, you had to show that it was wrong. Often today, the superheroes are the criminals. Often today, the one someone pointed out in Silence of the Lambs, I don't know if it was a caller or someone wrote to me and said this movie, which is a dastardly movie, that the hero of it is the guy perpetrating the horrific crimes. So that's right. I have no problem if Hollywood presented something in a certain way that did not titillate sexual interest or titillate interest in violence, presented it to get a message across to give moral disapproval, but Hollywood tends to do the opposite. All right, great conversation, sir. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Let's listen to clip number 4.
There's definitely an allegory, a Judeo-Christian allegory that's happening in the mythology of Superman, right up to the fact that he descends from the heavens.
They took an Old Testament story, which is Moses, whose mother and father were about to be killed by the Egyptians. In this case, it was Krypton. And just like Moses went down the Nile, and he landed on Earth as an immigrant and was adopted.
I don't think Superman becomes a substitute for religion. I think he becomes a substitute for mythology. Superman is the mythology of a hero. This is what a hero can do. This is perhaps what you can do if you choose to be a hero. There's morality in that that's very important.
All right, what's your take? 866-348-7884. Is it a waste of time to be looking for these parallels in the Superman movie, or is it degrading the gospel to try to say you can preach Jesus using the Superman movie as an icebreaker, a door opener, or is this something we should seize the moment on because so much of society is talking about it? Let's go to Hyattsville, Maryland. Bob, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'll try to keep it brief. On one hand, I can see how I could take my grandnieces to see it because it does open some doors. They don't know what they believe, you know, and they don't... I could take them to see that comfortably, as best as I can tell. On the other hand, I could see how the enemy would love to use that as, like somebody said, a secular substitution for a Messiah, you know, the Antichrist or this type of thing. But may I say, when I was about 20 years old, I was watching The Outer Limits. You remember the old black and white one?
Oh, yeah. Remember that? I watched it avidly and The Twilight Zone.
Well, do you remember The Visitor? It was a particular episode. Long story short, this guy somehow goes to this house that's like lost in a moment of time, and somehow throughout the thing, you don't know that at the beginning, but there is him and this girl fell in love. Now, nothing sensual, nothing erotic, really something you felt in your gut. You know, at least I did at the time, and I thought, and then she, if she left, she knew she would die, but she was willing to go anyway. And then he pulled her back in. He said, no, you can't do this. When he walked out, he was going through a garden. He had his hands out. He had his eyes. He looked like he's a changed person. And it threw me back to when my family had sent me to a Christian camp when I was about 9. I remember my friend getting baptized. And he changed, not just from being baptized, but he changed obviously before that. I didn't know any of this at the time. But years later, I remembered these things that I thought, did God use those things? I don't know if it has to do with predestination, free will, or just God's sovereignty. But did he use those things to work on me?
Yeah, great question. And I don't doubt for a second God can work through any of these things. I don't doubt it for a second. God can, absolutely. Was it the intent to outer limits? Is it something we preach the gospel from? Thanks for the call.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. Wednesdays, we focus on the world, on moral, cultural issues. I am not a film critic. I have not seen the new Superman movie, but all of America seems to be talking about it. It has been marketed to the churches. Some have said, look, there are clear parallels between the origin of Jesus, the origin of Superman. The parallels are overt. Author Steve Skelton wrote about that and actually called in the first hour to talk about it. From my perspective, we're just caught up with Hollywood and worldly stuff so much that we're looking to Hollywood to help us preach the gospel and thinking it's somehow going to open door. And look, use any open door you can. It's a godly open door. But come on, is it going to bring people under conviction of sin? Is it going to give them a revelation of who God is? Is it going to deal with real issues? Or is it just going to present Jesus as like Superman and even better? It's the conversation we're having today on the Line of Fire. If you saw the movie in particular, give us a call, 866-348-7884. And before I go to the phones, I want to play a clip for you. Number 8, Joey, I want to play a clip for you from my guest on the first hour of the broadcast on Monday, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield. She was a tenured professor in the English department at Syracuse University. She was working on a book on the religious right and the threat of the religious right. She was a lesbian, activist, feminist, professor, wonderfully, gloriously transformed through the patient witness of a pastor in a church, and the Lord saved her. She's got a great book, highly praised. To her absolute shock, it's become a bestseller, and people are talking about that all over the Christian world and beyond. It's called Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. If you happen to be listening online, oneplace.com, you can just order by clicking on that or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, to order. But she was talking about, from her viewpoint as a lesbian activist, sexuality and how this becomes your whole worldview, everything filtered through that. Listen to what she had to say in terms of salvation and sexuality.
From a queer perspective, obliterating gender normativity,
the binary construct, trapping people in the binary construct of male or female.
Any kind of heterosexist normativity is elevated to a spiritual, not just a moral, not just a philosophical, but a spiritual, and dare I even say, saving paradigm.
Yeah, fascinating. You say, why do I bring that in? Because we see in the gay community that the media is looked at for parallels, and many times they're there quite overtly, quite intentionally, weaved into the subject matter. I demonstrate that in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the chapter called Hollywood Celebration of Queer. And in point of fact, the parallels are often overt. Sometimes they're not overt, but people are going to the movies and looking at that and the X-Men, the mutants, and trying to change. You got to change. I was born this way. I'm specially gifted. Society doesn't recognize it, and on and on. Those parallels were quite intentional in some of the recent movies and recent comic strips, intentional and clear. Well, we look at that and say, okay, so the society is being impacted with a message. Well, is society being impacted now with a positive Jesus message through the guise of Superman? And we should not be ignorant of that. We should seize that moment and make it count. Or is this just the typical mixing of the world and the spirit that we're so often guilty of? And as a previous caller suggested, we're just trying to justify, a reason to go to the movies or enjoy a movie. We got to make some Jesus parallel out of it. It makes me think of something that Leonard Ravenhill used to say, that entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. I think I'll tweet that out. 866-348-7884. Tony in Dallas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I appreciate you having me on. I've heard this. I haven't seen Superman, but you know, when I heard you talk about the movie and how it's been dubbed as a relation to Christ, it sends chills through me, because I think of Paul and how he says, you'll know them by their fruits. And if we look at Hollywood and the fruits that they produce and the message that they proclaim over and over again, anything from Hollywood, I think we should look with a skeptical eye. You know, Pastor Chuck Smith, I've heard many occasions say that God's word is great enough. We don't need, and you know, woe to those who add to it. Why do we need a movie or a message to convert souls? I mean, God's word is sufficient. And in the olden days, the apostles, 5,000 people came to Christ. They didn't need a Superman movie. They didn't need anything other than someone giving them that spiritual freedom and proclaiming Christ to them. I think it comes down to that we as Christians sometimes feel that we don't have enough, that the word's not enough, and we have to have some dramatic, monumental impact to give them that push over the edge. And mm-hmm. what I've learned in my trials and trying to reach out to people and my pain of seeing people suffer because they don't have Christ is I can't, you know, as I've been led many times by the Lord, I can't be their personal Jesus. That's they have a Jesus Christ, and we have to show them that example by the way we live, not by taking them to a movie. We have to show them that example by the compassion and the love that we share with them. That's a more dramatic witness than anything we can take to them, because at the end, they're looking at us and going, why do I want to be like them? They're cheating and divorcing and stealing and doing right. all these things.
Right. If our example was powerful enough, then why would we need to point to a Hollywood movie to preach Jesus? And Tony, you know, I'm very much with you in terms of what you're saying in perspective. In fact, you've heard me say it already on the air today. I mean, someone said, look, Paul quoted from poets. He quoted from secular poets in Acts 17, for example. He was aware of the culture. Yes, he may have made a reference to make a point, but then he simply preached Jesus. So, again, I have no problem with someone saying, this is a starting point, this is an open door, people are talking about the movie, fine, we'll talk about it just as a conversation maker, as an icebreaker. I understand that. But to think that the movie is now going to somehow preach the gospel, and we draw on that again, he is a superhero, not a savior from sin. The ultimate issues are still not dealt with, unless there's something in this movie that I don't know about. But again, that's why we're having the conversation. I can learn from you as you learn from me. We'll continue to talk this through. 866-348-7884. You heard a quote from the interview I did with Professor Butterfield on Monday. The whole show was wonderful. I wish I had more hours to talk to her. It was so rich. You can get the CD of my interview with this former lesbian activist, feminist professor, now a committed believer and a pastor's wife, in fact, and her amazing book, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. For your gift of any size, call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Some more interesting audio clips and your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Ring a bell with you? Ah, Superman. Superman. Now the new, well, it was old Superman music, but the new Superman movie is the biggest blockbuster June opening in Hollywood history here in America. Grossed $125 million, which broke the record of Toy Story 3, which had grossed $110 million in its first June weekend release. Many are saying, hey, the gospel parallels are undeniable. The gospel parallels are clear. Get clip number 5 ready, Joey. And there's no denying that this movie can be used to help preach Jesus. And it's even reported by Eric Maripodi on CNN Belief blog. This was right before the weekend, that the movie is being aggressively marketed to Christian pastors, inviting them to early screenings. And the movie, which focuses on the origins of Superman sent from the planet Krypton as an infant to save his species. He's raised by surrogate parents who help him grapple with his special powers and so on. Hey, sound familiar? Doesn't sound like the gospel? When he turns 33, Superman must willingly sacrifice himself to save a human race. Are there parallels from which we can preach the gospel? Or is this just leaning on the arm of flesh? Now, I want to clarify one thing before I go to your calls. 866-348-7884. My issue is not whether you can enjoy a movie, if it's a clean movie, if it's not offensive, if you could do it in the presence of God. My issue is not whether you can enjoy a movie or a novel or even a comic strip. My issue is it justifiable to try to say, hey, this is a platform for preaching Jesus? Or do we cheapen the gospel when we do that? Or is it just making an excuse to go see a movie? I fly overseas a lot, and sometimes 10-15 hour flights, I'll watch a movie. I've watched 2 movies while traveling in a single flight. I've actually done that a couple of times, and make sure it's something that's acceptable, that's not going to grieve the spirit or grieve me as I watch it. And just relax and unwind, have it during a meal, have it as I'm trying to fall asleep and do it. Or even on long flights, sometimes I've even read a novel to help me fall asleep. Now, if the novel had gratuitous sex things in it or full of profanity, obviously I'm going to touch it. If it was glorifying evil, I'm not going to touch it. No, what? Look, if you can enjoy a nice meal, you could enjoy certain things, you can enjoy a beautiful piece of art. However, the amount of time that most believers spend absorbed with worldly things is mind-boggling. And what would happen, you really want to break through, you really want to see revival, you really want to see America shaken, you really want to see God move in our culture, in our country, in our church, in our lives, we got to shut down a whole lot of distractions and go after the Lord. And we got to wean ourselves from a whole lot of things. Sports. Look, I came home from teaching last night, teaching at Southern Evangelical Seminary all this week, having a blast with a great group of students. So I leave the house around 1. I sleep in the morning, work from home in the morning, then leave the house a little before 1, come and do radio, leave from radio, went straight to seminary, did a radio interview on the way, taught until about 10:30 at night, got home past 11, spent some time with Nancy, and then noticed there's 20 seconds left in a basketball game, and I said, I'm going to watch the end of this game. And there was a dramatic victory for the team I didn't want to win, and it bothered me. I was a little I thought, I can't let sports bother me. So anyway, it's not sin to enjoy positive, nice, good things in this world, but a lot of us are absorbed in a world of fantasy and pollution and fleshly stuff that's only destructive. So there. All right. More to come.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, our phone lines are completely lit up. I'm going to be going to the phones momentarily. Feel free to differ with me. Look, I'm sharing my viewpoint. I'm sharing my thoughts. If I'm just giving an opinion, you got a different opinion, fine. If I've got a spiritual interpretation, you've got a different one, fine. I want to talk with you honestly and candidly. This is why we have live talk radio, 866-348-7884, as we talk about the issue of Superman. What got my attention was the article saying, look at all these parallels. Wow, look at these parallels. And look at how it's just, you know, so many things that tie right in with the gospel. And then gay websites saying, yeah, we got more gay parallels as well. And look at this and aspects of his character and the hiddenness and in the closet and all this. And I thought, okay, what should we make of this as believers? 866-348-7884. Let's play clip number 5.
To advertise the new series, the WB devised a bold marketing strategy that showed their 24-year-old star stripped to the waist and tied to a post. The startling image suggested more than a passing similarity between Clark Kent and a crucified Jesus Christ.
I mean, he's a Christ-like. He's a Christ-like figure. Guess what? You see him 3 times. You see him, you know, at birth, once when he's in his teenage years, and then when he suddenly appears at 30, ready to take on his mantle and save the world. So, I mean, it's all through there. Yeah. You know, we definitely heightened it. But when we saw that campaign, we were shocked. We thought they're going to crucify us for this. But it was really compelling, and people remember that campaign.
Okay, so this is about a TV show, Smallville. But the fact of the matter is, again, the parallels and, okay, Clark Kent, Jesus, and so on. And is that a good thing? All right, wow, he uses to preach the gospel or inspires us. Or is that just, come on, why look at a copy and then we've got the original, now we go to the copy to go back to the original? If you don't have the original, it's one thing. But if you have the original, why go to the copy to go back to the original? But feel free to differ with me, 866-348-7884. Remember, I have not seen the movie. Let's go to Clearwater. I was going to go to Clearwater, Florida, but I'm not now. By the way, we had an epidemic. Our phone lines were lit up in the whole first hour. But then when I was getting to a lot of callers, they weren't there. And we thought maybe it was like enemies of Superman trying to get them out of the way. We couldn't figure it out, but we seem to have overcome that safely, hopefully. But no! Winston, they've hit. Andrew, they've hit Winston-Salem. Andrew, Joey, look out. They're attacking the lines in Winston-Salem. Let's try someone else in Winston-Salem. Tim, are you there in Winston-Salem?
Yeah, you got one. Yeah.
All right, they didn't take you out. All right, good, good.
No, they didn't.
What's your take?
I went to film school down at UNC Chapel Hill before they moved it up to the School of Arts here in Winston-Salem, and then I did my graduate studies at Wheaton College up in Illinois. I'm sure you're familiar with that place.
You bet.
They have a very, very, very mature approach about film there, and well. See, I finished up my MA in 93. But, you know, the very first film, we had a writing class, and the very first film we had to see was, we went to the professor's home. She invited us to come over to watch this movie because we had to write a paper about it. And we had, you know, her coffee, donuts, whatever. And we watched R-rated film. I think it was a surprise to a lot of students because they had never, you know, been exposed to anything like that, you know, especially the language and all. And I think it was a shock. And so finally, the professors you really get it across to you pretty fast up there. Is that evangelicalism? I mean, evangelicals need to grow up. And you know, you don't have to if you see something that offensive. Well, you know, a lot of times that's the real world. That's how it is. But you don't have to adapt it to yourself.
Uh-huh.
But that's how the real world is. And the last thing I remember before I left there, is seeing the chair of the department. He said, "Tim, it doesn't. You know, when you write screenplays and such as that, if you do foul language and use it with integrity, it's as a real character would. Then there's nothing wrong with doing that, because that's how it is. That's how life is." We can't be going around Pollyannishing our life and living in Disney to get along in life. We have to, you know what's going on and be real, but we don't have to adapt ourselves to it.
All right. The question, Tim, is: let's say you're a Christian in Hollywood and you're putting out a movie.
I've lived in Hollywood, so we go from
right.
There.
No. Okay. All right. So let's just say someone, screenwriter, producer, whatever. And they're in Hollywood, and they want to get a message out. You know, often that you're gonna be told you got to insert this, so it'll be PG-13, or because they won't see PG, or it can't be G. They got to see PG, so you got to put in a little profanity here, but it's got nothing to do with the story. Or you got to have this risque scene here, and I don't look. Chariots of Fire defied all that, and ends up winning Academy Awards. And other movies have defied that. So it's one thing with a documentary, you're interviewing someone, and there's stuff, you know, it's hardly Christian. Or you're witnessing to a lost person, or you work with lost people, and there's all kinds of profanity, and they got gross calendars on the wall, and just, you're in the world, you know, we're sharing the gospel. But often what I think we do as Christians is think we've got to make the stuff worldly so that we have some kind of street cred with Hollywood, and to me that's an utter lack of faith. And again, it's thinking that we'll win the world by becoming like the world. But Tim, thank you for the input, especially given your background. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH, Roy in Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome, sir. You know, I was listening to everything that you're saying, and I mean, I've collected Superman comic books for years. I've seen, you know, the movie with Christopher Reeves and stuff like that. You know what? I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I've been saved for a number of years. I just think it's just grasping at, you know, at straws. Why can't we just watch a movie and just enjoy the movie? I mean, you know, God gave us common sense.
Yep.
You know, and for me, I haven't seen Superman yet. I'm looking so forward to seeing it. But I'm not going to the movie to read anything into it. You know, I'm going to the movie because I enjoy it.
Right.
You know,
right. So that's a caller last hour, and I had him over to the beginning of this hour, brought that up. And that's a fair question. If there's nothing objectionable in it, if it's one of these movies that's not sinful and objectionable. Right. Do Christians need some type of justification to go enjoy a wholesome movie, or maybe a movie that's got a good moral lesson, or is just a fun movie? I went with our grandkids to see some animated caveman movie. And at one point, it looks like the father, in a heroic act, is going to get separated from his whole family. And I started, my heart started to, you know, it was this animated cartoon. My heart started to tug a little bit. But then I thought to myself, nah, it's a children's cartoon movie. And I asked our 12-year-old granddaughter who was with us, I said, "Hey, hon, did you think he was going to get separated?" She goes, "For a minute. But then I thought, nah, it's a kid's cartoon movie." But we didn't come away from the movie. And my 9-year-old grandson, when we saw Cars 2, we did when we left the theater after Cars 2, we played a game, especially my 9-year-old likes to do it, as if the cars on the road were actually spies and who were the good guys, and I got to drive quick to get away from that. We didn't come away with moral lessons, so why not just do that?
Yeah, I mean, we went to see Star Trek this weekend, and you know, it was a fantastic movie. It was well made. I didn't read anything into it. You know, I've seen Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, I've got Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't read anything. So I read my Bible every day, and you know, that's good enough for me. I'm not looking for Hollywood to give me an answer to my faith. It's my faith has got to be strong for me to withstand it, and that's the way I see it.
Yep, absolutely. And of course, you mentioned a few other things, other movies. I encourage everyone to go by Ephesians 5, the opening verses of Ephesians 5, in terms of what entertains us and what doesn't. And we sort that out before the Lord. what is light, what is life, what is wholesome, what is not? Those are questions to ask. I'm sure that Roy asked them as well. But yeah, must everything have some, let me say this again. I believe for the most part, we spend way, way, way too much time being entertained by media and worldly things and so on and so forth, when we would do so much better if we spent more time with the Lord. But we can enjoy certain things. We can appreciate certain things. We live in this world. When I go out and have a nice meal with the family, I don't ask if the farm that this food came from, if they were godly farmers or the truckers that brought. No, I can enjoy it. However, I think we just get a little superficial trying to make everything into some kind of Christian allegory. All right, back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to our show. On the Superman movie, is it a parable, an allegory of Jesus? Should we be pointing people to it to help us preach the gospel? Can we learn from it as believers? Is that just the typical fleshly, weak evangelical leaning on Hollywood rather than leaning on the Word of God? Should we even care? 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones in one moment. First, this interesting audio clip, Rabbi Simcha Weinstein on CNN. This goes back to 2006.
Kalel, that is his name. What's the Jewish connection?
So Kalel is actually a Hebrew word. It means the voice of God or the vessel of God.
And the same thing for Superman's birth father, Jor-El, also a Jewish connection there?
Also, and you can also draw a very clear parallel with the story of Moses. If you think about it, Moses is sent away in a reed basket. He becomes the people's savior. He's raised in a foreign culture, a foreign land. So too, Superman has the same experience. He's sent away in a rocket ship. He's lived in a foreign country, a foreign land, and he becomes the people's savior.
Right. And you also make an obvious parallel, I think, as Superman as an outsider. The Jewish people have long been known as outsiders, correct?
Right. Yes, the Jewish people were known in America as aliens, which coincidentally Superman himself is an alien. And the environment in which Superman was created was that in the 30s and 40s, it was difficult for Jews to get jobs. They levitated towards the comic book industry, which was not seen as highbrow. It actively encouraged Jews to take part as being comic book creators. And if you think about it, the characters themselves, they have double identities. So too, the creators of superheroes also have double identities. Many of them change their names.
Interesting. He wrote a book in 2006, Up, Up, and Oy Vey, How Jewish History, Culture, and Values Shape the Comic Book Superhero. 866-34-TRUTH. Chris in Fort Worth, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. My comment about the Superman movie is, we're all given, all believers, given the Great Commission. And I once struggled with the Calvinist position of predestination. And I'll call back on on that day.
Okay.
But so I told God, I said, all right, when you put the words in their mouth, you know, I'll use my knowledge of your word to share your gospel. And it happened within a week. The one person that I had been thinking about at work, he said, "Holy cow." And then he commented, "Where did that ever come from?" Well, I know all about the red heifer. And got to share that with him and how we don't need burnt offerings for the blood of animals to cover our sins. So I believe, in the least, believers should use this as it is a way to share the gospel.
All right. So anything we can use as an icebreaker, anything we can use to just start a conversation, the more we can do that, the better. All right. I appreciate that.
Let me also add that I also believe that the movie is a matter of perspective. Believers are going to see these parallels in the movie. Non-believers won't. two different people can look at the same painting and see something
different. Yeah, and that I understand. Again, the question would be, okay, and, or so what? You know, just raising these questions in terms of, okay, so you see a parallel. Does that really help us preach the gospel? But thank you, Chris. I appreciate the input. That's what I'm asking for. All right. I'm going to be as quick as I can. We're short on time. So, Jim, Veal Station, Texas, just weigh right in, please.
Yes, sir. I would like to make a comment here. It might be a little bit different perspective than a lot of people you've had on your show today. And one of those things is personally, I don't watch much television and I don't go to the movies. Okay. I've heard a lot of your other callers come in and say, well, we do go to the movies and we do do this and we do do that. And it really doesn't concern our walk, if I'm catching this right. But however, I found out that what we do and what we watch does have an effect on us at all times. And the thing about this new movie is, if we look at the old Superman, and I'm a baby boomer, and you know, I read the comic books, and they also had a long playing deal on television about it called Smallville. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm no expert on that, but I've learned that as well.
I didn't really watch it because I haven't really watched TV in years because, like I said, I'm a Christian and I try to monitor what it is that I put in and out. And I want your callers to really understand this, that you're like a sponge. And you can go to the movies or you can go do this, and that's your prerogative to do that as a Christian, by the way. But as time goes on and as Hollywood puts these things out, they do have subliminals in them, most of them, and they are not Christian, and they are not probably the best that we could put into our head besides other things. I'm not saying be a hermit and stay in a cave.
Yeah, I understand. But right, the question is, and I'm just jumping in for time's sake, sir, when we subject ourselves to all kinds of media, just like when you go out in the rain, you get wet, what does happen to us? What effect does it have on us? Are there things that get into our mindset? Are there titillating images and other things? Are there words and concepts? Those are very important questions to ask. I appreciate it. All right, friends, I wish I could get to more calls. We are just out of time. We'll continue this discussion another day. We've talked about it here and there, about entertainment, media, so on. If I had to make a choice to never see another movie, never watch sports, never put on a TV show, and spend every free moment meeting with God in the Word and prayer, would that be a choice I ever would regret? No, I don't think I would ever regret that for a split second in this world or in eternity. If instead I took in all the latest entertainment, only the clean stuff, and spent more time watching movies, videos, playing video games, just surfing the net for entertainment, and spent more time doing that than meeting with God. Just to close on this note, would I regret that? Yeah, in this world and in the world to come. Oh, I know it's not necessarily either or, just throwing that out. If you missed Monday's show, the first hour, please take advantage of the special offer. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, or call this number, 1-800-278-9978. An extraordinary interview with Professor Rosaria Butterfield, a formerly lesbian activist, feminist professor, now wonderfully born again. Her book, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. You can get that together with the interview from Monday. Just $18 will pay the postage as well. So take advantage of that. Trust me on this. You will be richly blessed, and you'll want to share this with others as well. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, however Superman might be, he does not light a candle to the Savior of the world. In fact, he's not even in the same universe.